Welcome to Fleet Safety Geek Shorts, your go-to podcast for bite-sized safety tips and insights. In this series, we'll dive into a variety of topics related to fleet safety, from driver training and vehicle maintenance to crash prevention and compliance. Whether you're a fleet manager, driver, or a safety professional, these short episodes are designed to provide you with actionable information that you can implement immediately. So tune in and let's make our roads safer together. Hey, Phil, how you doing? Welcome back to a safety short.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing? I'm wearing my safety shorts.
That was so funny when you said that. I just thought I had to run with it. So,
listen, I would stand up and show you the shorts I'm wearing, but people don't need to see my legs. I got to tell you.
Yeah, usually in the summer, I tan really easily, but this year my legs are pretty white, so yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see mine either.
Well, talk about tanning, Bob. I'm looking at the feed here, and my camera keeps going in and out. One day, at one point, I'm sunburned, and the other point, I'm all washed out. But people, I've not been out in the sun that much, so if you think I'm really, really red or embarrassed, maybe I'm embarrassed, Bob.
It's probably your safety shorts.
That's probably it. I'm embarrassed about my legs.
Yeah. Well, see, right, now there's plenty of light.
I'm not as sunburned now.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, go figure.
Let's talk.
Yeah, let's talk about fleet safety.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about, we're recording this at the end of August. Mm-hmm. In Cleveland, it's going to be like 91 degrees with a heat index of 150. I don't know what it's like in Philly, but it's kind of weird that we're going to talk potentially about a season change here and how that's going to impact with wet leaves on the ground.
Yeah, I think you also mentioned about talking about maintenance of your car. No, I want to talk about fall driving and all of that and what that involves. But there are four things, Bob, that people need to understand are like the key, absolute key to safe driving. You know what those four things are?
The rubber on the ground.
There they are. The four tires.
That's right. There you go. Right?
That's it. I mean, if you think about it, so about the size of my hand, okay, that's what the contact you have with each tire on the road. And without that, what are you going to do? Our cars are not hovering yet, okay? I'm waiting for that to happen. That'd be very cool.
Yeah.
But, we depend on those tires, and people don't maintain them. And they wait until the little light goes on in the dash before they even check their tire pressure. And how many times are people running around with that light lit up and they don't do anything about it?
Yeah.
Your tire pressure should be checked at least once a week, at least once a week. Don't depend on the gauge. On my dash, I can pull up what the tire pressure is on each tire. I don't depend on that. I would suggest everybody get a good tire gauge, go out and check the pressure. And when the tires are cold, you get a false high reading if the tires are warmed up. And then also check the tread. The old penny trick, putting a penny into the, flip the penny, on Lincoln's head. And if you put the penny in, then the top of Lincoln's head can be seen in each, and not just like one of the treads. You got to go all the way across the tire. If you can see the top of Lincoln's head when you're putting it into the tire tread, then that tire needs to be replaced. I mean, that absolutely works. So I suggest make sure that your tires are good, especially when we're going into the fall season here, because now we're going to get some frost. We're going to maybe even get some early snows, depending on where you live. So it's really important that you have good tires. And also check the sidewalls just to make sure there aren't any gouges or anything. Now, you hit one chuck hole, you hit one pothole, it can change your tire pressure. So you want your tires all, and if you need to know what your tire pressure is, look on the door jamb, look on the side of the tire, look in the owner's manual. We'll tell you what the proper tire pressure is.
Yeah, no, that's all good advice. We had an episode with somebody from Discount Tire talking about tires and tire safety and tire technology. Yes. And I actually learned a lot from that. I thought that was a very interesting episode. But getting to the basics of tires, just everything that you just said, but also when that car, whatever car you're driving, the engineers made and decided what tire to put on that car for how that car is supposed to handle and respond, stop, accelerate, how fast it can go. So that's really, really important, how important tires are, and making sure that they are at the right pressure, where that car is not going to respond the same way.
That's correct. I mean, you again, go with the manufacturing recommendations, because as you said, it's engineered to that tire.
Right. So. Yep. So stopping distance is reduced if you don't have the right air pressure.
Correct. So if a tire is underinflated, what happens is the center of the tire will suck up in when you start rolling. If the tire is overinflated, only the center of the tire will be hitting. You want as much tire to road surface contact as possible. So that's why proper inflation is so important. And if you don't have that, then you're going to lose traction. It's all about maintaining that traction. And especially important when it's raining, or if there's like snow, or if you're going around curves and things like that. It can get into a skid, or you can stay out of the skid, depending on how your tire is inflated.
Yeah. Yep. I just had a thought and I lost it.
That's called age, Bob. It happens to me all the time because, like, I'm really old. So, you know what I mean, Joe? I'm Bob.
I was caught up in what you were talking about, and I thought it was very interesting, and then I couldn't remember what I was going to lead into next. So, no big deal. You mentioned the tire pressure. That's what I was going to say, is the stopping distance and how it handles and losing traction. We don't need to remind all of our listeners the most common fleet crash is rear-ending the car in front of you. And it's either because you're not paying attention, you're going too fast, or perhaps your vehicle's not maintained properly, and it could also be the tires.
Correct. So any number of reasons why rear-end collisions are. So it's the most commonly reported crash in the U.S. is a rear-end collision. Actually, the most common crash, it happens in parking lots, typically in reverse. Okay. But,
backing.
But the most commonly reported crash, you know, it goes on the crash reports, you know, to the police and goes into the statistics, is a rear-end collision. So not paying attention, falling distance. And you're absolutely right, though. If your tires aren't properly maintained, it can increase your stopping distance and cause you to get into a rear-end collision. And that causes a lot of injuries and hardships and such. So, yeah, tires are important.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, you know, with keeping these safety shorts, we're going to try and keep it within 10 minutes. So, again, it's like 91 degrees in Cleveland today. I don't know what Philly's going to be like. And I don't even want to have to start talking about the leaves I'm going to be cleaning up. But with the leaves that come onto the ground, usually there's some fall rain. The roads are getting wet. The wet leaves on the ground can actually, you know, cause very slick conditions, not having the right tire pressure and the right tread. You know, bald tires or whatever. And wet leaves is a bad combination for anybody driving, right?
Yeah, correct. And again, so if you be familiar, if you're driving in an area where there are trees next to the roads, you have to think that in the fall, guess what? There are going to be leaves on the road. And if it's raining, I mean, it can be your coefficient of friction could go way down. I mean, getting to like ice levels, that type of thing. You just can't stop. So again, slow as you're going into the turns. You know, slow down prior to the curve. For people getting in trouble, you know, there's a tree near a road and they go into a curve and the leaves are wet and now they go into the curve and they're going too fast and now they're going to slide out, you know, into the oncoming traffic lane. So again, slow prior to going into a curve, slow down any area where there could possibly be leaves laying on the ground, especially when it's wet. Because, you know, when they're dry, okay, they're just going to blow up and everything. But when they're wet, man. You're absolutely correct. You have a real slick condition and you need to adjust for that.
You know, you bring up a good point. I tell this to my daughter because I'm teaching her how to drive. And anytime that there's a curve, you know, she's sometimes braking in the curve or accelerating in the curve. What's the best way to handle curves?
So, again, watch out for the chevron signs, you know, the markers, and look for the... I always... What I say to people is a road sign that goes like that is not a challenge, okay? It's not, I'm going to... No. slow down prior to the curve. Those suggested speed signs that are on the, you know, on the road, the curve signs, they're there for a reason. And I mean, they go out there and it's called a critical speed calculation. So they determine how fast the vehicle goes through that curve at a safe speed, you know, safely, I should say. And that's why they get that on the sign. So slow down to that and slow down prior to getting into the curve. What's going to happen, Bob? You're making a, let's say you're going around a curve to the right. You're going to have a weight transfer going to your left. Now, if you pound down on the brake on top of that, it's all going to go to the left front. That's going to get into what's called a critical speed stop. It's going to slide out where the back end might come around and stay low to the front end. So you need to slow down prior to the curves. There is a technique called trail braking, which are, and I'm not going to even start talking about that because that's more of an advanced thing, and we certainly can't teach that sitting here doing a podcast. But, you know, you just, again, paying attention.
Yeah.
Right? And seeing the signs and obeying the signs, adjusting to that condition. That is a road condition that you must adjust to.
Yep.
People don't. And another, real quick, I'm sorry, Bob, but look through the curve. When you're driving, look through the curve because there might be another knucklehead coming towards you that didn't slow down and they're encroaching into your lane. So look through the curve as far as you can when you're driving through.
Yeah. And not only are our tires, our vehicles engineered for the tire, our roads are engineered for the speed.
Yes.
And we could handle curves at a higher speed if there was a banking or the way that they, you know, allowed the vehicle to, you know, make that curve, like an entrance ramp or an exit ramp to a highway.
Right.
They weren't drunk when they made those. They're banked for a reason so you can get up to speed or you know, exit at a higher speed. But on a flat roadway in the country where the speed limit's 55 and it's telling you 35, you might want to go 35.
Right. They're there for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
And speed signs are out there for one reason. One reason. It's not so cops can write tickets. It's so people will, you know, be safe. They're there for safety, period. And that's including